Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. The new inspiring story of Jonathan and Emma, A View of the River by Frieda H. McBride, is a moving story of resilience, love, and the unexpected twist of life. When Jonathan and Emma meet, they're both broken by circumstances of their individual lives. It's these circumstances and the resulting need for comfort that leads them to behavior they would never otherwise consider. They quickly become each other's lifeline and eventually life partners. Over the course of 30 years, they share rich lives full of love and success, disappointment and heartbreak, family and friendship. Their romance shows that with love and determination, even life's toughest challenges can be overcome. Frieda is a retired CPA, college professor, and college dean. She's been married for 54 years and author of the poignant and powerful story, Jonathan and Emma, A View of the River, and Frieda H. McBride, our guest on This Week in America. Frieda, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Love the storyline in Jonathan and Emma. We'll get to that and all of that in a few minutes. I'd like to take a few seconds here at the beginning to talk about you. I very briefly summarized a distinguished career that you've had and continue to have with writing now. Tell us a little bit about yourself, some of your background.
Well, I was born and raised in North Carolina on my grandparents' farm. I don't think I ever left North Carolina until I graduated from high school and went to college. But I had a really good life. I met my husband in college, and then he ended up going into the military, and we traveled around for a while. One of our children was born in New Jersey, and the other one was born in England. So we've been out there for a little while.
Yeah, experiencing life, and I love the background. We'll talk about how the background has influenced your writing and how your career has influenced your writing possibly as well. Our guest on the program is Frieda H. McBride. The book is Jonathan and Emma. Her website, very simple, friedamcbride.com. Of course, link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. A career as a CPA, a career in teaching and academics. When did this desire for fiction begin? How long have you been writing fiction?
All my life. When I was growing up on that farm with my grandparents' farm, we didn't have TV or anything like that. We had a good life. Nothing was lacking. We didn't realize we were lacking TV because we didn't know anything about TV.
Yes.
Not yet. Yeah. And my Aunt Jane used to tell us stories when we were little. And, you know, the Three Little Pigs, Little Red Riding Hood, all those fairy tales that children learn or hear and learn. And I always thought she made them up. I thought they were her stories until I went to school and found out that they were in a book. So I've always been an avid reader. I enjoy reading. Somewhere along the line, I started writing. In the beginning, I just wrote little short poems. I never shared them with anybody. That was just not something that I felt that I could do. I was very, very shy. But poems started to get longer, and then they started to get to be short stories. And I didn't write anything that would be considered a novel until after I got married, I think. But there were a lot of stories out there. I didn't keep up with them, so they're lost. But I've got a lot of stories that I've started as an adult. And whether or not I'll try to publish anything else, I don't know. You'll have to see how this one goes.
Well, it's going so well. The reviews are excellent, and we'll talk about some of the praise you're getting for the book, Jonathan and Emma, A View of the River by Frieda H. McBride, our guest on the program. Let's talk about that next step. You thought about writing this, evolved to the point of writing a novel. How did you decide to actually finish the novel and then get it published? What was the inspiration for that? And I ask that out of curiosity, and also because a lot of people are probably where you are, where they've decided to write one, they've got it, they're not quite sure what to do with it. You took that next step. That's a big, bold step to go, okay, now I'm going to put it out there for public consumption and have it published. What was the inspiration for publishing this this novel?
I have to admit, it was boredom.
Oh, okay.
After I retired. No, I had a lot of books that I had started whenever I would have time, because the writing was just there. And after I retired, the kids were gone. And for a while after I retired, my husband was still working. And I just didn't feel like I had anything to do. I retired because of a physical condition. And it wasn't like I could just go back to work.
Yes.
If I wanted to. So I was kind of stuck and I didn't have anything to do. And I thought, let's see if I can figure out if I can finish one of these stories. And Jonathan and Emma was the one that I selected, even though it had barely been started. I don't think I even had names for the two characters. I just started writing the story without even naming them.
Now, that's interesting. I was going to ask in the process if you had this strict outline before you started writing. It sounds like the story sort of grew in your imagination as you were telling it.
That's the way my stories work. I start off with an idea, and I'll start writing, and it will flow for a while, and then it just stops. So I stop, and eventually it comes back, and I start again. And I have to be careful that it doesn't get choppy, because I'm getting it in bits and pieces.
Oh, yes.
And sometimes I get the part, I'm in one place, but what I'm getting is previous or later. So I just write down what I've got and make sure that I get it put together afterwards.
Let's talk about the background of Jonathan and Emma. You see, you barely had this story in your mind when you started to write the novel. Talk about Jonathan and Emma and what they go through. And they touch on so many themes that we all go through in life, the good and the bad of life. All of that evident in Jonathan and Emma. Who are Jonathan and Emma? And tell us a little bit about the story behind them and how their lives came together.
Well, at the very beginning, the book starts off with Emma's parents being in a car in an accident and being killed. She is 15 at the time. She hasn't turned 16 yet. It's just before her 16th birthday and she's the only child, and it's the first time that they left her at home alone while they went on their date night. And they talked by phone a couple of times. And then the police show up at Emma's door. And she won't let them in.
Yes.
And she keeps trying to call her parents and call them. She's calling them and calling them, and they're not answering. So she calls her uncle. But the uncle isn't a biological uncle. Her father was a foster child, and the uncle was a foster child. They were in the same home. But they're like real brothers because that's how they feel, that they're just brothers. So she calls him and he comes, but on the way he finds out what has happened. And when she sees him and he's crying, she really knows that something bad has happened. So when they try to tell her, she's still not listening. She still won't accept it. But so she ends up, this is in New York. They're in New York. Her father has no relatives. The uncle isn't a biological relative. Her mother had one relative that they didn't really know, and that relative is in North Carolina. So that's how she ends up in North Carolina. Jonathan is in North Carolina. His background is that he grew up with, I think there were five brothers, and he wanted to go to college. So he joined the Marines with the intention of using a GI Bill to go to college. But ended up in a war zone, and there were, I think I said there were five of them. There were five of men in his troop, and they ended up getting blown up. I know I'm not telling it very well because,
No, I understand. I'm following along, and it's like, wow, this is
they
what
ended
a
up getting,
story.
they got blown up. Only two of them survived. One was survived, but he was paralyzed. Jonathan survived. He was badly injured, but he was able to, not so much that he didn't recover, but mentally, emotionally, he didn't recover. So at the time that they met, he was on a downward spiral. His parents were praying that he would get better, but he wasn't getting better. And when they came together and started a relationship, it's like they healed each other.
Yes.
And they stayed together because they felt like they were the only two people who could understand them. That Jonathan was the only person that could understand Emma, and Emma was the only person that could understand Jonathan. So they developed a strong relationship. They didn't get married until Emma was in college, but the relationship had been growing all that time.
It's an interesting relationship in showing that each can be the other's pillars as they go through difficulties in life. And that's exactly what transpires in Jonathan and Emma. The book is written by our guest on the program, Freda McBride. Her website is fredamcbride.com. Information there on the book. You can order the book there as well. Book available, of course, at Amazon, all of the usual places. What are some of the themes that you touched on? I mentioned that, but they go through so much in their lives, the ups and the downs that we all do, which I think is why the characters in the book are so relatable, because it is real life that we're seeing depicted in this novel. What are some of the themes that you bring about in the book, Jonathan and Emma?
Well, there were quite a few situations that they went through. First of all, when Emma came to North Carolina, can you imagine living in New York City and finding yourself in North
That's
Carolina,
a transition,
living with
yes.
people that you don't even know?
Yes.
So, and those people, they didn't know what to do with her. They didn't understand her any more than she understood them, which makes sense.
Yes.
But eventually, after Emma went to college and she and Jonathan became closer, and her aunt, who she was living with, who just really never knew how to communicate with her, she wasn't a bad person, but she lived a totally different kind of life and she didn't understand Emma at all. But eventually, the aunt realizes that Jonathan and Emma's relationship is more than she thinks it should be. So she puts Emma out. And that's when they decide to get married. And even then, they almost didn't get married. Well, I don't guess that's true, not that they almost didn't get married. But when he asked her, she made him take it back, because she needed to tell him something before she could say yes.
Yes.
And what she needed to help him to understand was how rich she was. Because of her parents were already well off. And because of the way the accident happened, she received a very large sum of money. And her uncle, not but her father's foster brother was a lawyer, so he was in control of all of the money, but she was still living in North Carolina with her aunt and uncle. And nobody knew about the money. Even the aunt and uncle didn't know how much money she had. But she felt that she had to tell him before she could marry him. And when that happened, he didn't know how to handle that. So he left, but he talked to his father, and his father convinced him, helped him to understand that it would be better for him to marry her than for somebody to marry her who only was interested in the money.
Yes. What an
So,
amazing story that unfolds in Jonathan and Emma, A View of the River by Frieda H. McBride, our guest on the program. Our website, friedamcbride.com. So many elements of the story, transformation, the power of second opportunities, forgiving love, and what that can do and hold a marriage together. So many of these, the love of family, all of these elements brought to life in the remarkable book that Frieda has written, her first novel. Let me ask you about writing this novel. What was the most difficult part for you? You've got the storyline that's forming in your head. What are the challenges in writing a novel, especially your first novel, when you're not real sure exactly what's going to happen?
I'm never sure what's going to happen because, as I said, it's not the first story that I started. It's not even the first one that I got several hundred pages out of. My biggest problem was that I couldn't seem to end it, so it kept getting longer and longer, and I was afraid that people wouldn't want to read a 500-page book. Finally, I just said, I can't change the story. I can't fix it. I can't make it any shorter and keep it interesting. Anything that I take out is going to leave a gap. I just want to decided to go ahead and give it a try. But there was a lot that went on in the story. The kinds of when the even after they got married, there were issues that came up.
Our guest on the program is Frieda H. McBride. The book is Jonathan and Emma, A View of the River. Book available wherever books are sold. We're talking about some of the challenges as you're writing a novel, in particular your first novel. How was it when you finished it? How did you feel? How do you feel now? You've got a copy of your book, your story, your name on it. People are commenting all around the world are enjoying the story that unfolds in Jonathan and Emma. What's that make you feel like now? What's the feeling that you had as you finished the novel and now people are enjoying the story?
Well, when I finished it, I was just happy to finish it because, as I said, I had started so many novels, and some of them, the one that I really wanted to finish, I couldn't find because I started it before we went to England, and I worked on it while I was there, and I thought I worked on it after we came back, but I don't know exactly what happened to it. That was the one that I wanted to finish, but Jonathan and Emma, as I said, at that time it was just barely an idea.
Yes.
It was the very maybe I had written 100 pages, and it was really just the what getting them together, managing to finish it. You can't really take credit for that. Managing to put it together and try to make it cohesive. I'll take credit for that part. I don't know how well I did it, but I'll take credit for that part. But the stories just come. I always felt like it was part of Aunt Jane, my aunt, when we were little, telling us those stories. And I started doing little stories even then, but they just come. And I know that doesn't make sense to most people. I never had to try to think of a story. I just had to try to get it written down in a way that people would enjoy reading it.
Yes, and you're doing that now, and you have to feel the satisfaction that people are reading the story. They love the characters, they love the storyline, they love the warmth and emotion that you have, the inspiration you have in the storytelling. Jonathan and Emma, A View of the River by Frieda H. McBride. A couple of minutes left in the program. Let's talk about some of your favorite writers, maybe growing up, maybe now, people that you enjoy reading. Who are some of your favorite authors?
I don't think I read very much when I was growing up. I mean, I just did schoolwork. You know, I didn't really read for pleasure very much. But, well, one would be, I would say my second top novelist would be Nora Roberts.
Ah, okay, that's a good choice.
Stuff. I've been reading her stuff forever.
Do you have any advice for people like you who would like to write, but they don't know quite what to write, how to write it, what to do with it when they've written it? What advice would you give to people that were in your position a while back when you decided to make this step?
I think most people are afraid of failure. And I think the main, when I first decided to finish the book, to go ahead and write a book, I wasn't afraid of failure because I really wasn't trying to publish it. I was just trying to write it. It still had not occurred to me that I would publish a book. At that time, I simply needed something to keep me busy because I had already retired because of a medical issue.
Yes.
But I was feeling better and I wanted to go back to work, but I wasn't sure that I had the stamina to do it. So I couldn't go back unless I was sure I could do it. But I decided to finish a book because I've been writing for so long. But whether you're doing a book or whatever it is that you're doing, if you want to climb a mountain, if you want to become an astrologist, if you want to, whatever it is that you want to do, you've got to have enough confidence in yourself to step out there and do it. And you can't let somebody else tell you that you can't.
Yes.
Or you can't let anybody tell you how hard it's going to be and how difficult it's going to be. It probably is going to be hard. It probably is going to be difficult. But if it's what you want to do, if you feel like that's where your heart is, you just need to do it. I realized that writing was the thing that I had always enjoyed doing. It wasn't part of my career at all, except that when I got the doctorate, I had to do a dissertation. But it wasn't a part of any of the occupations that I had, because the college professor and dean, that was later in my life after my kids had, well, actually, I got my PhD on the same day that my daughter got her master's. So she didn't go to her graduation. She came to mine.
What a day that was for the family. Wow.
Yeah. And then, of course, I became dean, and I had to participate in the graduation where I was working on the same day that she was getting her master's, I mean, not her okay. master's, her PhD.
Wow.
So I had to find a way around that. I could, she came to mine. I've got to go to hers, right? So I had a hard time finding somebody to fill in for me, but I did, so that I could go to her graduation. But the whole point is that whether you're trying to write or you're whatever it is that you believe you want to do with your life, you just have to do it.
And yes.
You can't let anybody talk you out of it. And in most of the time, the best thing to do is not tell anybody. That's what I did. I didn't tell anybody about my books until I wrote this one.
Good advice.
And actually, I've said here on this program that I've started a lot of books, but nobody really knew that because my children did, and my husband, but nobody else knew because I didn't tell them. I wasn't trying to publish. I was just writing because I wanted to write.
I enjoyed writing. Yes.
The stories seem to be there. So if there's something in you, regardless of what it is that you really want to do, you just have to do it.
Such good advice.
If you fail, you fail.
You take it one step at a time, and you don't listen to that voice, maybe in your head or from other people who are saying, "Boy, that's really difficult to do." You just go ahead and do it. I have a few minutes left in the program. Let's talk about what's next. And you mentioned maybe you're not sure quite what you're going to write next. You've got this going. You've got the great story here with Jonathan and Emma. Are you working on something else? Are you thinking about what other story in your mind you'd like to bring to life?
I've got about five more that I've started.
Ooh, good.
And I've got one that feels like it's almost finished, but I don't know if it's long enough because it's less than 200 pages. So I feel like I don't want it to be 500, but it probably needs to be more than 200. So I figure I will go back and start working on that one as soon as I can get through this process that I'm going through right now to try to get this one going. So I'll go back and see if I can finish that one.
Well, we wish you the best of luck with that. And it's such an interesting problem to have with you getting a doctorate, your daughter getting one, going back and forth for the ceremony so you can be there to support each other. What a remarkable story and a remarkable life that you've led and continue to lead in inspiring so many people with your writing, Jonathan and Emma. A View of the River by Frieda H. McBride. You can order the book at information on Frieda at her website, friedamcbride.com. Follow any new books that come out by going there as well. Get all the information. I'd like to thank King Pages Press, Frieda's marketing consultant, results-oriented, making sure your work gets the attention it deserves, for arranging our conversation today. Frieda, congratulations on the success of Jonathan and Emma. Thank you so much for joining us on the program.
Well, thank you for having me.
It's been our pleasure.
I appreciate it.
I love the story you bring to life in Jonathan and Emma, A View of the River. Book available, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. Information, and you can order the book at Frieda's website, friedamcbride.com. You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.